Welcome to Trust the Journey. I'm Melanie Curtis.
And I'm Jason Maletsky.
Our mission is to live, laugh, love, and learn together with you.
We're here to create conscious connections, to grow and contribute through our practice of openness, honesty, vulnerability, humility, and trust. Trusting the entire journey. As always with our show, if you get value, please share wherever and however you are so inspired. Follow us on Instagram, leave a comment on our website. Under the episode that you're listening on, there's a comment box. It's trustthejourney.today.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. And if Facebook is your preference, go ahead and follow our individual profiles over there. We're both set to public and we share a lot over there as well. So I am Melanie Curtis there and Jay is Jay Mo. All right, right on, family. Thank you so much for being with us as always. Here we go.
Morning.
Right on. All right. So in this episode, we're doing a freaking deep dive on gratitude, one of our most favorite topics. So the idea of today is we're going to share some of our own experiences with gratitude. We're going to look at a little bit of the science behind it and how it's impactful for people, how it actually makes a difference. And then we're going to talk about and share some how-tos on actual actionable takeaways for people who want to put this stuff into practice right away.
Cool.
Yeah, right on. Fired up. I mean, this topic is unbelievably useful and alters lives. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's such a core tenet of my life for sure. And it's funny, when I was thinking about this episode, the topic, I feel like I can't not start with the experience I just had, you know, what I'm talking about, you guys, is that I just launched my book, it's seriously the biggest project I have ever taken on. So just so you know, my book, it's called How to Fly: Life Lessons from a Professional Skydiver. And what it is, it's a collection of 9 years of my writing for a magazine in the skydiving industry called Blue Skies Magazine, and feature articles that I've written over that time and feature interviews that I've been interviewed for. So I included all of that in sort of an anthology over that time period. And it's hard to describe how big a project it was, how much work went into it, quite literally, but also how much emotional work went into it as well. Like, not just every month writing a column, that's a lot of work too, but even just getting to the point where I was willing to share so much of myself with the world in a form like that. It's a interestingly sort of scary and enlivening, and at least to me felt like a very massive undertaking, both in the project itself and emotionally. And so a couple of days ago, a few days ago, it launched, it dropped. And what's funny about this book is that I wrote a book a couple of years ago. I did a quote book and I love it. And I used it as sort of a stepping stone to learn how to publish and all of this. And I did all the things with regards to like launching something. And when I did that book, where I mobilized my troops and I said, let's all buy it at the same time so that we can get the cool guy status on Amazon. And I did all of the things that you can do to sort of be a part of the system, as it were, to launch a creative work like this. This time, I was like, I don't want to do any of that. I was like, I just don't feel like that's me. I just don't want to do that. I just want to create this work. I just want it to be in existence. Like, my true goal was like, I want it to be in existence. And if it ends up being a book for, you know, young newbie skydivers and then like washed up pros, then that's what it'll be. And it's fine. And I sort of went into it with that mindset. With the title, I was hoping, like, okay, well, my goal is to rise and speak more into communities outside of skydiving. So I wanted the title to reflect something that could be receivable by non-skydivers. Thank you guys for listening, by the way. This is awesome to share, actually. I appreciate you. Speaking of gratitude, I appreciate you listening. So anyway, it drops and it's unbelievable the response my experience of feeling the support and love and enthusiasm around this project. Like, I could easily cry right now because I'm so thankful and feel so supported and so loved. I am totally, totally feeling moved. And that's, like, if anything, I could say easily, like, the gratitude for that is overwhelming.
So can I ask a question?
Of course.
I know that there's an overwhelming amount of external support, but, like, in this moment right now, the waves that you're feeling, they've become part of you, right?
Yeah.
They're internalized. They're both being received and emitting. Yeah?
Yeah.
So just the thoughts of it that are bringing it to the forefront of your mind in your presence start to whelm up the emotional state of gratitude, right?
Yeah.
And how do you feel that this is coming in, or this is equally going out?
It's definitely both. It's an incredible, overwhelming thing. And this is the thing, like, gratitude, it's funny, like, I didn't even write a conclusion really in the book. It's more about, like, how I ended it was gratitude. And we've talked about this plenty of times on the podcast, but, like, living from gratitude and feeling, like, really practicing gratitude. And I say that because it's both, like, intentional practice and bringing my mind to that. And it, because I've been practicing that really, and if I reflect on myself, you know what I mean? I also see how it's very much become my default. Like we talk about, we go to the science of this. There is research that shows that gratitude increases happiness. It increases resilience. You know, like, we've all been through ups and downs in life. Life is crazy. It throws us really painful, challenging times. And gratitude has been proven to help people through those times, help them be more resilient because of the feelings, you know, like what we're just witnessing or hearing me experience in that moment a minute ago. It's like, that is very real in terms of not needing anything other than what is happening right then. You know what I mean? Like, it's certainly a recognition of work and stuff like that. So I'm humbled to be seen and loved at the level at which I felt the other day in the last few days. So that's part of it too. So it's not only gratitude there. There's more emotion and wrapped up into that. But in terms of, at least for me, for example, like, why would I even care about writing a book? A big thing is about being seen and believing that courageous self-expression is one of my highest forms of leadership. So to feel like people are experiencing that and getting value from that, I have immense gratitude for that reflection. Does that make sense? So it's more than just the gratitude, but the gratitude piece of going, yes, this thing that I believe in deeply has been reflected to me. And that is, like, unbelievably inspiring to me in terms of gratitude, because it motivates me to continue to lead in this way that I believe in so deeply as my highest contribution. So it's kind of a lot. I know that's a big share, but that's a big piece of why I feel so much gratitude for the people supporting this work.
Very cool. You mentioned something in that statement that sent my mind down the rabbit holes that I tend to go down, and it was about how gratitude actually fosters a state of happiness. And immediately I start thinking about how we work, what our bodies are, how our brains function, and the fact that we're a biocomputer, right?
Yeah.
Like, our mind works off of microelectrical signals, impulses, as well as chemical interactions, right? So our emotions are generally a chemical interaction. There's an endorphin or a signal receptors being triggered mm-hmm. by another molecule, and that's telling the brain or the body to feel and act in a certain way. And this happens through all the different areas in our life, and I think it's really really cool to observe and to become aware of. So with gratitude as the example, when we practice feeling grateful, and this is a really unique concept to kind of get our mind around, just the idea of sitting presently and, okay, what am I grateful for? Okay, I'm grateful for my children or my family or my friends, or I'm grateful for the opportunities I have in my life. I'm grateful for the gifts I've been given. I'm grateful for, you know, we can go an endless list, but the practice of just thinking about them, as we're observing with you right now, just thinking about them causes us to trigger an emotional response. If we truly think about it, if we truly access the part of us that allows the emotional response to occur, then that emotional response becomes a real thing.
Yeah.
Right? It really happens in our mind. Our mind truly sends out a signal transmitter, and a receptor picks it up, and the receptor says, okay, now we're feeling this. And by feeling this, we turn it into a reality. It's a truth. It's a real thing. And even though it's only experiential within the side of our mind, and we're the only one taking part of it, it is truly part of us in that process. So we become that. And with becoming grateful, we trigger the rest of the molecules in our mind, the polarities around those trigger to the positive. They start to reflect and echo inside of our being in such a way where this simple practice of meditating on gratitude and reviewing the things that are important to us and we're grateful for changes our chemical and molecular makeup in such a way where we start to become happier. We're not just being happier or thinking happier or pretending to be happier. It's truly a change in who and what we are. And this works in every direction. If we focus on negativities, if we put the things that are dragging us down as our main thought and loop and loop and loop and loop and loop on those thoughts, we're going to become that. If we do the alternative and we pick the things that are gifts to us, and we go, wow, I'm so happy that I have had this single opportunity, then we become that. It truly does change who we are as a being.
It's true. There's science behind this. There's total science behind this, that the regular practice of shifting our mindsets to quote-unquote positive thoughts. Again, we can go the even whole big picture, but like if we just, you know, are focusing on gratitude today, it's a version of a positive thought, you know, so it's a mindset practice. And we can retrench our neural pathways when we practice this stuff. You know, it's funny. I was thinking as you were sharing, like, well, what's okay, the book thing might not be as relatable because it's such a big project and took so long and yada yada. So it's harder to, I think, connect to that. So I was laughing to this morning because I was tired because of the last few days. I've been really smoked. Like I don't know if you've ever talked about like the whole post boogie blues, or like, you know, you go to an event or a festival and you come home and you're like you crash from the experience, like the connected experience and the love and all that stuff. And there's like this down period where you're like just tired. At least for me, that's how it happens. And so I was waking up this morning and I knew we were going to talk about gratitude, and I was really tired. I was laying in bed and I knew I had to get up in order to like get my coffee. I'm like, I have to write the intro to make sure I'm ready. Want to be on point for our meeting, which I ended up, by the way, I ended up doing. But where I'm going with this story is I was really tired, and there's that moment I feel like is an easy example of, I'm guessing a lot of people have had this moment where they don't want to get up because they're tired. And so instead what I did was I was cuddling my, like, a pillow, and I was like, I'm grateful for you, pillow.
That's awesome.
I literally, rolled over, hugged the pillow a little extra, and thought to myself, oh, I'm grateful for you, pillow. And I know that sounds so stupid, but and it did make me sort of giggle to myself, but it lifted me up in that very common moment where it's harder to motivate, you know, when we're feeling that way and tired and want to stay in bed and all that. So it's just a micro example, but back to the bigger picture of how we can rewire ourselves, it is real. There is science behind this. But yeah, go on. You were going to say something.
No, you know what? I'm thinking about all the times in my life when I've been pushed to my breaking point with fatigue or just mental stress or workload or whatever it is. And then there's a tipping point that happens. There's a point within whatever it is that you're doing where you kind of just let go of the concept of control of it and just embrace the insanity, and things get a little kooky, and you know what I'm talking about. We're like, loop-de-loo, here we go. All right, we're going to get this shit done. We're doing it, you know? And I start talking out loud and getting real crazy. But at the same time, what it is, it's embracing it, right? It's just taking on whatever the challenge is and allowing it to become us in a way that's it's reshaping our attitude towards it. So I can think easily of moments when I've been at my point where I'm like, man, I am done. I just couldn't lift another parachute right now. I couldn't swing another hammer. I couldn't do anything. And I'm just like over it. And I could go towards being an angry, crotchety, just not nice person, but I'm not going to get any value back from it. If I go that, and this is life experience, right? Like if I go down that rabbit hole of being embracing the negative energy that I have inside, it becomes me and I become it.
Yeah.
And if I go the other way and I go, well, I'm losing it. I can't stand to do another bit of this. And I just go, wait a second, you know what? I'm just going to go with it. I'm going to ride this crazy train and I'm going to go, yeah, we got this. This is fun. Being overloaded is fun. Right. It's awesome. I love.
Oh my God.
I'm so grateful for this moment to be here with you guys working till midnight.
Oh, you know? Well, and it's funny. Those overwhelmed moments are, so the question is, how do we practice the gratitude, right? Because there's a thing too. I often frame it as I am grateful if something sucks and it's hard. I'm always framing it as I am grateful for this opportunity to practice a new skill, to breathe through overwhelm, to, you know, practice courage through fear, like whatever other skill set other than gratitude that I might be working on or might be in my character set that I've decided for myself, whatever, right? We all have ways that we're working, trying to grow as human beings, theoretically. Then when I'm challenged, I'm grateful for the opportunity to practice that other thing. And the thing too is like what you mentioned just now about like I lean into it, I go into the feeling. That's pretty awesome too. I what that made me think of, why I'm reflecting on that, is what I have seen a lot, and I've definitely done this myself, but I've seen a lot with clients is the loophole and the moment where if we're not, how do I want to say this? Like the challenge moment, right? Of this is overwhelming and I don't want to do this or whatever it is that whatever mindset that gets us to stop in those moments, because there's that thing where we're like, okay, I don't want to necessarily stop. And then there's this other argument that tends to be on the other side of that, of like, well, of honoring your feelings and honoring where you are, right? Because it's not that we always and only want to make sure we get through the hump of the hard work and we do more, right? Sometimes it's that, oh, we're going to practice our skill of resting, because some people aren't as good at that, you know, like I used to not be good at that at all. And I would consistently put myself into like literal sickness because I would overwork myself, you know? So the skill, the practice, I think, can be on both sides. I only bring that up because I'm imagining people going, you know, well, what about this? Well, what about that? You know, and those are all valid questions because both sides, I feel like, are important to look at. And so theoretically, gratitude can exist on both sides. And then it's up to us to distinguish when is it time to practice gratitude such that we do more? And when is it time to practice gratitude that we can rest and honor our feelings because we're not as good at that? You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we were touching on the topic of meditating on gratitude earlier, and it's something that I've heard a lot of in the last few years, especially listening to podcasts, reading personal growth books. You know, the topic of meditating and the topic of doing it first thing in the morning and applying it straight away to start the day. And personally, I've tried and I've struggled with it in a lot of senses where a lot of the time when I'll wake up, quite groggy sometimes, quite awake others. It's this huge spectrum between like how I might jump out of bed and run off to do things one day, and I might just, toss and turn and hit snooze other days. And I've been working to try and find that ability to create a little bit of a constant for myself in that practice of gratitude
Right.
as a literal practice, and to try and implement it. And when we suggested the idea of doing an episode on this topic, it's partially related to that in myself is something that I'm working on. And it's surprising to me how easy it is once you actually like just do it and actually start, So I know I find myself sometimes on the other side of the fence where I'm like, oh, think or do anything, I'm just, whatever, I'm not ready to commit to practicing something. I'm not ready to commit to my day yet. But all I have to do is make one switch. As soon as I think of one thing that I'm glad about, that's a blessing in my life, then immediately I can think of another, and I can think of another, and I can think of another, and they just go on and on and on. And it doesn't really take that much. It really is just a matter of allowing that process to initiate. And even if it just is as simple as going, I'm so glad I was able to push snooze for that one extra moment, and just being in that moment right there. I'm just so glad that I'm not jumping out of bed right now. I'm just having this little, and then starting that off. And I really truly believe it's a matter of charge, of like of energetic polarity, of positive energy, of negative energy. And we are made up of these electrical charges, right? So if we flip it to the positive side with our thought, then we head on down that road and we carry it into our day. I've been practicing it for a long, long time as a greater sense, as a lifestyle choice of how to approach things. And the more that I implement it in my day-to-day and in my routine. So this morning meditation piece is a routine example. It's not just waiting for the opportunistic moments or the ones that like slap you in the face and say, "Here, hey, be grateful. This is really obvious." It's the one where you go, "I'm gonna dig in where I wouldn't normally be doing this, and make it part of my intentional program."
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I feel like that's a huge important thing to note is that just like any other skill or anything we want in our lives with frequency and impact, we must bring intention to that. I guess must is, they're the absolute. I take that back, of course. Like, certainly some people might do this automatically without putting it, conscious intention toward it. I would just guess most people would need the conscious intention in order to grow in an area. That's what I've seen. That's what I've experienced myself. I mean, there's lots of different ways to do that. Like a lot of people talk about a daily gratitude journal and stuff like that. I've done that. I've experienced that or experimented with that in the past. I don't do anything like that now. Like, I don't write in a gratitude journal. I sort of touch it here and there if I want a resurge of my skill of gratitude. It's potentially because I have worked so hard on this particular mindset and like emotional and mental skill for so long that it is more entrenched in me now. And that's what I always like to highlight with my experience with people is that those that don't believe changing their like changing themselves, people that say this is just how I am or this is just who I am, that sentence always like, ah, I'm just like, no, that is a freaking cop out statement. It is
Sure
a
thing.
cop out. That is someone being committed to not changing and not thinking they can are capable of growth. So I always try to challenge people who say that. I'm just like this. If you are saying that, please look. Please look. There might be a place to practice into a skill set like this. It's almost like the people who, and I used to be like this, even though I'm a positive person, of course, yes, but I used to have certainly a ton more negativity in my being and in my mindsets. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because of basically like seeing it change, you know what I mean? Like seeing it change over the years and seeing myself get better at it. Like it's very clear to me with the long-term view that that type of change is possible. You know what I mean? So I always like
Absolutely.
to just challenge people who say that about themselves, who assert that they are just this way. I invite people who say that to challenge it. And anyway, what I was going to say is like I used to think certain memes were stupid, you know, like oh, the positive memes and oh, the life coach, you know, like I'd have judgment around certain ways things were said and all of this stuff. And not that we don't have that as a making judgments for ourselves of what's right and wrong for us individually, but I'm talking more about the judgment that really disconnects us, that disconnects us from a possibility that might work for us, that might help us. You know, like if someone's out there listening to us going, "Oh God, it's freaking practice of gratitude, sure, positivity, You know,
I hear it all the time.
I just want to speak to that because it's real, you know, and it's a valid place to be. It's certainly a valid thing to think. I would just say if we're in the game of challenging ourselves and taking a look, that mirror can be really useful if you find yourself being one of those people that says stuff like that.
I had a really ironic moment the other day with a friend who I really enjoy, a great person, really fun individual, and we have a great time whenever we hang out together. And he looks to me for advice sometimes, you know. He's like, "Hey, Jay, what should I do, man? How do I figure this out?" You know? And it's a fun banter relationship, but there's true love there, you know. It's really about mutual love and respect for each other and care for each other's best interests and well-being, and it goes both ways, you know. I'll be like, "Hey, help me out with this. I need a hand figuring this out." And you know, he threw something out and he said, "Oh, you know, well, this and that." And I'm like, "Well, why don't you try this? You know, here's something you could go at." And immediate deep kabam, super snap. "Oh no, I can't do that. You know, I can't do that. You know, that doesn't work for me, you know." And just snap, done, judged, over. No try, no consideration, just
Right.
book closed. And then, you know, 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, in conversation, "Oh, maybe you can help me to figure out this problem." I'm like, "I just told you 10 minutes ago something you could do." But snap the book on it before you even gave it a chance, you know, and
Yeah, and
it
it's
was
not to say that what we think
interesting, right?
will work for everyone. So I say that like, and I really do, this is very real. I am not you. You, whoever's listening, like, you know what I mean? Like, we are not, like, I am not you. I could never, ever know what will work best for you. I can't. I can suggest a million things, and literally none of them might work for you at all. And so that's true. And I really, really deeply believe that. And, you know, so it's all that I really want to impress upon listeners, at least with this topic, is that to just consider it. Just consider
How
it.
many times have you tried something later that you've discounted in the past and then found out it to be
Oh my
functional or
God.
effective, or
Yes.
yeah, it actually works? And you're like, "Okay, if I had did that 10 years ago when I first came across it, I could have been working on this the whole time, or I would have been able to fix this ages ago." And that happens to me all the time. I was a stubborn ass,
Oh
and I still
God.
am.
So
So,
true. But anyway,
yeah.
going back to some other things that people could try, because I wrote down a few ideas, and we had mentioned the writing down or practicing daily gratitude in a journal or something like that. And again, I don't even like that per se. It's just something that works for some people that I've seen, so I put it on the list. But something you can do too is you can express gratitude to others. So if it's harder to access it in yourself or for yourself, you know, like turning and focusing and expressing gratitude to yourself for yourself can be a little bit awkward or feel awkward to people to start. So potentially a way to start is to look outside yourself and express it to others. So That's also can feel awkward and weird for people too. So maybe it's something you just think, but you know, I would encourage people to express it as well, where they feel like they can and would like to. That interactive piece can be challenging for people, and you know, it is a thing to really express earnest, authentic gratitude to someone. It is a humongous gift. I can tell you. Again, like the experiences I've had where I have been the recipient of gratitude, it has been some of the like most incredible gifts of my life. Like, buy me a present, you know, I would love that. Great, thanks. But like really reflecting that gratitude to me is such a powerful gift. So I try to really do that actively for others as well. But it's a micro, like it's a subset of the goal of expressing gratitude. So whether it's we look in the mirror or we look just around our room or whatever, and we express that gratitude, it's just some way to do it. It could be mentally, it could be written, it could be whatever.
I've got a couple things that I want to mention.
Please.
One is just in reference to myself, because I'm always going to reflect to my own experience. And for anybody else out there who also finds themselves to be a very visually based learner, I surround myself with reminders. So I'm sitting here at my desk and talking to you and looking into the camera. And what I realize is I'm surrounded by objects that I've placed all around my desk that are within my field of vision. They're specifically put here to remind me about the things that I care about and that most importantly that I value. So that value piece in its sense is gratitude, right? These are important to me. These are pictures of friends and loved ones. These are items and trinkets that have come to me through my life, that have been gifted to me, that carry special memories. And so all these little things that sit on my desk, it's almost like an altar in the sense where they're key little pieces that remind me of the things that are of most value and I'm most grateful to have in my life that keep me grounded and present in the now. That's one that I feel is really good. And you see this in a very broad spectrum across humanity, right? And even in animals, having that tendency to want to have some things close to them or us that are little keepsakes that I know whether it's a teddy bear as a child or whether it's a dog's toy or whatever it is, it's this little thing that's a comfort that lets us feel relaxed and present and have this reminder about why everything is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why actually not why it's okay, why it's awesome, why it's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Agreed. Agreed.
There's one other one that I wanted to touch on, and this one's a tough one. This is a biggie, and I know for myself, man, I have spent some time on it. And I'm not talking some time, I'm talking like 25 years. You know, like some time, really burying in and going, how do I find the value in this experience? How do I dig into this experience, a thing that has happened in my life, and really take it from what I've perceived it as being a negative when it's happened, and turn it into a positive, and then make it something that I am grateful for in my life as a greater experience. And this is hard. I mean, these are the ones that usually hurt.
Yeah.
The ones that we feel loss or mourning or anger, the ones that tend to close us down. And they always have something. There's always a reason once we get past the emotional onion, right? And we
Absolutely.
peel back enough layers to actually get to the sweet bit in the middle, you know, and really go, wow, I had so much value out of this experience, even though it was so hard or so challenging at the time. And I'll reflect on one that is a general one that we're all going to have in our life because it is connected to all life, and that's death, right? All things that live eventually die, including everyone that we know, everybody who's ever lived or will live, and every animal, every plant, everything lives and dies. And that process is, in some ways, so difficult for us to manage and deal with because we're so connected to these experiences, and it's at times that attachment that we have to experience or emotion or connection or whatever part of another being, it's so easy for that to be something that's so such a sense of loss, right? When they're gone, when they're no longer present. And it takes a lot of sorting through that emotional state to actually be able to bring it back to that feeling of gratitude and get back to, you know, like, man, I'm so happy to have had the time that I had with whoever.
Yeah.
You know, it might have been a friend, a family, a parent, a child, anybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And really, I wanted to mention this one because it's been a big point in my life. I felt like if there's been anything that's made me stumble through my ability to be positive, it's been these big pain points, the ones that really, really trip me up at the deeper part of my being and go, yeah, you know, I'm having a great time today, but, you know, I'm still hurting inside because of this huge loss that I had in my life at some point.
Yep.
And when I finally have been able to take those moments that have hurt so, scarred so deeply, and heal the wound by finding the gratitude in it, then I can be at ease with it. And now, unbelievable. I mean, just unbelievable how much different I can feel about experiences that were once the biggest pain points I ever had in my entire life story.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Oh my God. Yeah. And I love that you point to this to healing. Because, like, if I frame, okay, I'm in this really rigorous, painful experience, typically, and I would say almost, yeah, I mean, again, I don't want to use absolutes. I'm not a fan of those, of absolutes, because it, yeah. But, like, those most painful times, for me, it's this opportunity to heal, opportunity to grow. So, like, if I'm in freaking agony, hurting, there's something unresolved in me. You know what I mean? There's something there that I get to look at more deeply. And I'm telling you, it is not fun. We've had this talk before, but it is not fun. Real deep growth, work, healing, looking inside ourselves. And that's why I talk about that stuff as courage. And I stand so fiercely for that, as hoping to inspire people to turn into that experience for themselves, because only through doing that and for finding and healing those deeper wounds, those deeper pain points, have I been able to really experience consistent peace, consistent calm. You know, if we talk about gratitude as an antidote to anxiety, It is. For me, it has been. Abso-fucking-lutely. No question about it. And so if we're going, okay, cool, if gratitude just sort of in a experiential time and a daily mindset thing is, it, that's almost more the Band-Aid experience. And it is more than a Band-Aid, because I believe it does build to the bigger entrenchment of practice, so it becomes our default. So as a result, but if we don't also bring that gratitude and love and healing to those deeper pain points, theoretically, we aren't able to access that deeper, consistent peace and calm and love and happiness and fulfillment and all of those things. So that's why and it's scary to do that. It's scary as fuck to do that, because it's so painful. You know, and so I love that you point to that opportunity, like when we're in pain, like, yes, I am grateful for feeling this, because there is clearly something I am missing and I want to heal that. So I'm then going to take whatever actions I can to get help, to help find what that is. Because, you know, like then the question is, well, do I know, what if I don't know what it is? Well, that's why pros exist. Hire a therapist, hire a coach, do something, talk to your best friends who have done growth work, like ask Jay Maletsky, your friend, who is going to suggest things to you that you'll reject, you know, like it's good, like do it all. You know what I mean? On your, in your inquiry for that healing.
So what's a, just a straight up fave? What's one of the biggest impactful things in your life?
Straight up fave? What do you mean?
Yeah. I mean, like, what is one of the biggest points of gratitude that you live in or has affected and turned you to who you are today?
I'll cry again, Jay.
Oh, well, your listeners don't want to hear you cry.
It is by far easily, absolutely, super simple for me to say. It's my people. My people. Awesome. I love and I'm so thankful for my people. Because a big pain point for me, and this goes back directly to the healing part, is that a big pain point for me that I've really discovered over the course of my, you know, life breakdowns and personal pain points is that fear of being alone, that fear of being disconnected. And so the more that I allow myself the experience of connection and to be truly loved by others, that truly experience that we are not actually separate, like that whole experience of true, like universal connection and love, that and I've experienced that and received that with my loved ones. I am infinitely and forever grateful for them for giving me that gift.
Very powerful.
Very what powerful. About you?
It's really.
What about you, my friend? I'd love to hear yours.
I'm always the relationship that we share in this environment for me always highlights our polarities to me, that we're very different people,
yeah.
Right? That you're very, to me, you're very outgoing and social and have this like just communal thing. And you feel extrovert and I tend to feel introvert.
Yep.
And so when I start thinking about, oh, what are the things I'm grateful for? I start having a list of things pop up in my head. And as soon as you say your peeps, I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, oh, yeah, but it wasn't the first thing that came to my mind.
Right.
You know?
And
it
that
wasn't
speaks.
The first.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as soon as you say it, though, I'm like, oh, my friends who've been there when I've really wanted to, just dive into conversation, share, be real, you know, connect. Those are priceless, right? They're absolutely priceless. And, I can think of so many examples when I dive into that, but in the same moment with reflection to that, I can simultaneously say that the beauty of this earth is one of the things that I'm so grateful for. I've spent a lot of my life traveling. I've spent a lot of my life looking for incredible vistas, just places to observe, places to sit and be present to the grandeur of what is this world that we live in, and it is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just breathtakingly phenomenal. There are places on this planet where you can just sit quietly or stand and scream in joy and just observe such a stunning level of mastery of the art of creation.
Yeah.
Right. And that's one of the things when I think about the things that I'm grateful for, I think about the vistas that I've been able to view, and I'm going to hit the other points because these are, I think we're moving around kind of an emotional spectrum where like there's visual, there's heart connect, and then I'm going to go to auditory.
Yeah.
And
do it.
I'm going to say music.
Love it. Music.
Because, oh my God, I don't think I would have made it this far without music.
Oh,
I really don't. Like, I don't know at what point I would have just given up and let my being collapse,
yeah,
you know, into whatever negative way. Music's, I think, been the biggest piece. And I have cried tears pouring down my face so many times in my life for the feeling of gratitude, for connection to and through others through that function of music, whether it's recorded, whether it's live, whether it's singing and clapping with others, whether it's playing guitar and laughing around like there's a million ways that music occurs, but that for me has become the most impactful source of connection in my life, and it is the reason why I pursue it and why I try to foster it and generate it for others, is to create that connective opportunity for us to all empathically and emotionally speak and feel and connect at a lot of the time a level without words.
Yeah.
A level that's just felt. And there's been no greater moment I can say that when I've been in the midst of a dance floor full of other people who are just awash with the experience and lost in that. And it's probably one of the things I'm most grateful for in my life.
I love that. I love how it's so clear that our various most inspired points, most grateful points, are also the source of our inspired creative work. You know, I don't think that is, I feel like that is worthwhile to just simply touch on and highlight. Really, really cool. I mean, we could go on and on and on about this because there's so much here, you guys. Like, oh God, this conversation is awesome because it spans the simple, actionable surface starting point to the deep, 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 like, range. You know, it's all there. It's all there when you think of
the
gratitude.
Spectrum, yeah.
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 You know, not to bring it back up, but I do want to share one more simple sort of actionable thing that people can take away and start to practice if they want to dip their toe into these gratitude pools, you know, that we're talking about, is to celebrate small accomplishments and big accomplishments, to celebrate accomplishments. But I say small on purpose because again, it is more receivable. It's easier to start, you know? So if we talk about like, you know, big giant accomplishments, like obviously I'm grateful. I'm so grateful and celebrating the completion and launch of my book, of course, but that's a big thing. You know, I'm also like, celebrating getting up with positive energy for our call today after hugging that freaking pillow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like that's a small accomplishment. And I say that, and I know it might sound like a joke, and it is. It's kind of because it's funny, but it's also totally, totally true. Like I celebrate that I got up with positive energy and showed up to this call today with, you know, more positive energy in my being because I did that. Go me. You know what I mean? Like that's sort of one of those things that I invite people to start looking for, and that when we start this, it might feel awkward and dumb. Like, oh, I'm going to celebrate myself for what? Putting the cover back on the thing before I put it back in the fridge, whatever little thing that you'd like to change, you know?
I cleaned the dishes.
Yes. I did my dish before the end of the day, whatever.
You know what I'm grateful for?
What? Coffee.
Coffee. Yes. Oh my God, I'm grateful for coffee. You have no idea. Like, I sit with my cup of coffee in the morning, and this is a little gratitude practice, right? Like, I sit there and I have this warm cup in my hands, and I like put my face in and smell it and then sip on it, and I'm like, oh, that's so good. And that is gratitude, right? That's just a simple little, like, oh, thank God for this coffee, because without this coffee, my life would just be who knows what.
And by the way, highlighting the differences between you and me, I almost always drink cold coffee.
Really?
Yes. I make a pot and then I put it in the fridge so that it's cold for the next morning.
This is delicious, this one.
This is
I put whipped cream on it this morning. I have a full cup of it. You know?
Nice. I'm straight up black coffee. Mm. Don't get me. No sugar. I don't want any of that.
I normally don't. I'm like just coffee with cream, but I just had to put I saw this coconut whipped cream. I'm like, I'm going to fill that thing up. I'm going to be so grateful for a cup full of coffee with whipped cream on it.
Mel and Jay said I could put whipped cream on things. I'm so grateful to Mel and Jay. Oh, man.
Here's
well, right on,
you.
My friend. I feel like that's a good chunk of goodness for our peeps. Is there any, and I've got, obviously guys, anybody listening, as always, we welcome your feedback. Please, we invite you into the conversation. That is definitely why we are a huge reason why we're doing this, is we want to hear from you. So all ears on that stuff.
I have one more thing.
Yeah, please go.
Close it. to everyone who's listening.
Everyone who's listening, right? Yes.
Everyone who's listening. For anybody who pushes play and listens, thank you for joining us on our journey. Thank you for being part of our experience of growth. And obviously, if you've been listening to us, you see a lot of change happening. You know, we improve the way we're doing things. We get better at learning to speak and respect and love each other and your audience and putting all the work in. So there's a lot of outgoing gratitude to those of you who are out there. So simple, we're going to give it to you. Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's real, guys. And I mean, and that's why we end the show with gratitude every time, is that it's true. Thank you all for listening and for being a part of the Trust the Journey family.
If you get value from our episodes, please share it online in any way that you think might help.
Yeah, the sharing is also an honor to us. I say that, and I know Jay is with me on this, is that it is, I'm grateful for those shares and grateful for the communication you guys bring to us. So visit us on Instagram or on our website, trustthejourney.today, like we said at the beginning too, to follow our individual profiles on Facebook if that's where you are most of the time.
We also want to invite you to join us on Patreon. If you would like to support us in a more direct and accountable way and pay for a cup of coffee for us, send us a dollar or two through Patreon, which is a kind of a sponsorship website where you go and you can find the link below the video. There'll be a click link below this video on YouTube or on our website at trustthejourney.today. If you scroll down, you'll find a little link. It's usually an orange button. And that will include you into a private group that we're developing there. It's what we call our expanding Trust the Journey family. And we're opening the conversation with you directly. And we're working on these practices together and growing that, and making a better world together.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Yeah, and everyone, for sure, just simply continue to join us however you are inspired, whether it's in Patreon group, whether it's here listening, whether it's online in other ways, whatever. We're just so grateful that you're with us and we love you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And remember, keep laughing, keep loving, and keep trusting the journey.